I just pray, lovely Father, I just want to say I love you with all my heart and with all my soul. And I want to love you with all my strength as well this morning as I speak. And I just pray that you would come, lovely Jesus. I pray that you would move amongst us. The miracle working Jesus who came from the heavens to the earth and walked among men and healed them and delivered them and set them free. We know that Jesus is in the room today, and that Jesus is living in our hearts. And you, Jesus, when you went back to the heavens, you promised the Holy Spirit. And we just say, lovely Holy Spirit, we love you so much. You bring Jesus to be so real to our hearts, and you make the Father's love so very real to us. You reveal things even in this day, even in these moments, to our hearts, to just take us to deeper places. So I pray that you would do that in the name of Jesus Christ. Amen. Amen. And so the scripture that I'm going to read you is only three verses, and it's Isaiah 55. And actually, I don't know if Teresa would have known that I was going to speak from this when she said, I feel that God is telling us to come closer. And that's what he's doing this morning. He's telling us, come a little closer, come a little deeper, come and press into my heart just a little bit more this morning. And so the scripture is this. Come, everyone who thirsts. Or in some scripture it says, hey or ho, everyone who thirsts, and come to the waters. And he who has no money, come buy and eat. Come, buy wine and milk without money and without price. Why do you spend your money for what is not bread, and your labour for what does not satisfy? Listen diligent to me and eat what is good, and delight yourself in rich food, and incline your ear and come to me and hear, that your soul may live, and I will make you an everlasting covenant, my steadfast sure love for David. And here is the prophet coming, giving a call to God's people who were at that time in captivity, bringing some hope and giving them a message of freedom this morning. And as we have been so wonderfully led through Exodus by Dave and Pete, who've done a great job in speaking to us, I think sometimes when we read about God's people, Israel, we understand how not to do it. That's all I really can say. It's a lesson to us how not to do it, because Israel couldn't come into the fullness somewhere because they kept going back to familiarity. They couldn't understand this God who satisfied, and the God of all power who gave them everything that they needed. They kept going back in rebellion and sin, and going and dancing around the golden calf, and doing all sorts of actually horrendous things. And they couldn't keep to the Ten Commandments of loving the Lord their God with all their heart and soul, and having no gods before him. They couldn't do it. They actually couldn't do it. But I want to tell you, we can. We can. Because the wonderful thing for us, church, is that Jesus says to us, come all who are thirsty. And he brings, and he's given us something so much greater. When the Father knew what the world needed, he knew how to come into the wreckage and the mess of mankind, and he knew what the world needed. They needed Jesus Christ. And we are living in these days and these times when the world needs Jesus Christ. And I can't tell you the urgency of that. The days are getting darker. The days are getting darker, and we need to be church that come like Jesus is inviting us today. Come all who are thirsty. Understand this gift of salvation, which I'll speak about in a minute. Come all who are thirsty, because we've got something to do, church. We've got to give it away. I don't know where you are as you look about down your street, or down in your town, or if you don't live here, from somewhere else. But there is a desperation on people They don't actually know they need Jesus, but they do. And I've got a bit of Jesus Tourette, so I just tell everybody who I can, and I take every opportunity. We even had the cooker man mending the cooker, and I had to say something about Jesus. And so we've got to tell people. We've got to tell him how good he is. And we'll just let Rachel go out, bless her. And I believe that there's something in this scripture that really Israel couldn't get really a hold of. And this, that God satisfies. And about listening diligently and delighting yourself, just as we've known, in rich food. And inclining their ear and coming. Because you see, God always wanted a people who were in deep relationship with him. That's all he's ever wanted. He wanted it from the beginning of time with Adam and Eve in the garden. And he wanted it with Israel, his chosen people. And he wants it with us today. And I don't know where you are this morning. I don't know if you're somebody who runs to Jesus and wants to be close to him every day of your life. Because as we get in here on a Sunday morning, we really feel the presence. But I want to say to you, I do not believe, so you can come and have a talk to me afterwards, that we have to be people who don't feel the presence every day of our lives. Because we have the fullness of God. We have the fullness of the Holy Spirit, and we can feel the presence of God. God says, draw close to me and he will draw close to us. And the only thing that God is requiring us is to draw close. And so if you can't feel God's presence, it's because you're not drawing close. And I'm going to help you this morning with a few things that I believe God has said from his heart. And I just feel that there's something happening in the church and happening amongst God's people all over. But I believe that God is doing this thing and he's reawakening us. He's reawakening us and bringing revelation and reviving us to the gospel. To the wonderful gospel message of salvation. And I believe he's doing with it. And he wants to set something like a fire in your soul. Because if he doesn't set a fire in your soul, a reviving in your soul for the gospel, you won't tell anybody. You will not tell anybody about what he's done. And you won't tell him about the God who satisfies. You won't tell him about the God that you delight in. You won't tell them about the God who you listen to and incline your ear and he speaks to you. You won't tell them about that God. Because you won't have come. But if you come close to God, he'll tell you all those things. And then you'll give it away. That's what we're meant to do. We're meant to give it away. He's beautiful. And I just feel that if we as a church really get revived in the gospel, if we really, really get revived in the gospel, I just feel when God said you're on the cusp of something new, that you'll experience, and I believe that we are, of more of a weight of God's glory, more of his power and more of his strength. When we understand that in our lives, amongst us, in this church, let me tell you, we can do great things. If Jesus did great things with just a few men, let me tell you, he can do great things with a church. I know we're a bit short this morning because we've got some people away, but we can do great things and we are doing some good things. But we need to do it with the power of God. We need to do it in the strength of God, because if we do it in our own strength, it won't have the power. We've got to have the power from heaven. And we want to be a church, and I believe he's asking us this morning. He wants us to be a thirsty church. And so every time you come on a Sunday morning, he wants you to be absolutely thirsty and needy and desperate for him. And somewhere, if we get more aware of God, we'll get less aware of ourselves. And let me tell you, that will change everything. The more you get aware of God in your heart, the less you'll start being bothered about yourself. The less you'll start thinking about yourself. The less you'll think about your feelings. And you'll run on the truth. And it's all rooted in the fullness of God, in salvation. And I just want to tell you something. When I got saved, I was only actually 8 years old. And I gave my life to Jesus, and I went through a really long time of being all over the place. And some of you will know this story and some of you won't. But then, at the age of about 32, 33, and I really don't know when it was, but it was about that age, and I'd suffered with this eating disorder for years and years and years, and God came supernaturally to deliver me. On my own, not with anybody else, not with anybody laying hands on me, or not with anybody praying for me, because I came to him so thirsty and I came to him so desperate that I was not satisfied with where I was. I needed something more. I needed God to break into my life. And he came powerfully, tangibly, and divinely to me. And I never went back again. And you see, Israel, what happened with Israel, they only gave part of themselves to God. And that's why they kept going off and getting led away and led astray. Because if you only give a little bit of yourself, if you only give a little bit of yourself to God on a Sunday and maybe in a meeting and that's it, and you forget him the rest of the time, you will keep in a captive place somewhere. You won't be free. God wants to bring the fullness of who he is to you. And when you hear the gospel and you know how much you've been forgiven, when you know how much you've been forgiven, because I think there's some wrong mindsets that go around, because people think that they're quite good people. They don't think they've needed much to be forgiven. But I want to tell you, you have needed a lot to be forgiven. And you just read, if I just find it quickly, Ephesians. We love Ephesians. And we're going to do Ephesians. So it says, and you were dead in the trespasses and sins in which you once walked, following the course of the world, following the prince of the power of the air. You followed Satan. That's what we used to do. The spirit that is now at work in the sons of disobedience. So we were people of disobedience, among whom we all once lived in the passions of the flesh. So we were only thinking about ourselves. We weren't thinking about anything else. We weren't thinking about God, carrying out the desires of the body and the mind. And we're by nature children of wrath. You see, God's wrath was upon us. And I don't think people like to think of God like that, because they like to think of God fluffy. You look at that picture of the lion roaring. That isn't a fluffy God. And there's so many people think that they're going to heaven. You can only go to heaven through Jesus Christ. And you can't go any other way, only through repentance and faith. And you can only go that way. You can't go any other way. It's the only way. You can't go in by any other gate or any other door. You only go in through the door that God opens up for you. And then you get down on your knees and you understand that you have sinned and you've fallen short of the glory of God. And you understand that you've been forgiven much by the blood of Jesus on the cross. That is the only way that you're saved. And in that moment, surely in that moment, when you understand that Jesus actually poured everything out for you, that you would give Jesus everything in return. Because you've been forgiven much. So you get this story in Luke 7 of this wonderful woman. And I think she must have been a prostitute. And Jesus is in the house of the Pharisee. I'll just paraphrase it. And Jesus is in the house of the Pharisee. And this woman comes in. And she starts weeping. And all her tears wet his hair. And she bends down and she gets her hair at his feet, and she gets her hair and she starts wiping his tears, her tears, off Jesus' feet with her hair. Can you think how intimate that would have been? And then she pours oil on his feet, and she's down on his feet and she's pouring oil and she's weeping and she's getting his hair and she's wiping his feet with hair. Can you imagine how extraordinary that must have looked? But she knew what Jesus said about her, that she knew that her sins were many. And because he said that she could love with such passion and she could love with such vulnerability because she'd been forgiven much. Well, you will love with a passion like that if you know that you've been forgiven much. You will actually love and you won't be bothered what people are thinking about you. She wasn't bothered what the Pharisee was thinking about her. She was just thinking that she wanted to worship Jesus and she wanted his forgiveness. and she would have done anything. And so there's something that we have to learn, church. We're so rigid. We are so rigid. There's no vulnerability about her. I'm going to tell you what God has been saying to me to help us to come into some freedom, because he's shouting freedom from the heavens for us, because he wants us to come into the fullness of understanding this gift of salvation and what it means. And so when I was praying one day, and God just gave me a word, and I was in a prayer meeting, and he just spoke to me and he said, there's too many knots in the rope. And I thought, oh Lord, that's a funny word, there's too many knots in the rope. And I felt that God said to me that it was about wrong mindsets. And God wants to do this thing that it says in just in the chapter before, so it's wonderful. It says, Isaiah said, that God had said, enlarge the place of your tent and let the curtain of your habitation be stretched out, and do not hold back and lengthen your cords. So if you think if there's knots in them, they're not very long. And we need to lengthen them out and strengthen your stakes, for you will spread abroad to the right and to the left, and your offspring will possess the nations and will people the desolate cities. And you see, when we have got knots in these ropes, they will not lengthen out. And we do need to lengthen them right out to where God has got for us. Because there's much for us to do, church. There's much for us to do in God's kingdom. And there's many people to be saved. Ask Jesus to tell you about hell. Ask Jesus. Dare to ask Jesus about hell. Please dare to ask him. We get so concerned and we think about, well, I think about heaven every day because it's an urgency, I've got to go there. But just ask Jesus to tell you about hell. Go read the scripture and find the truth of what it says about hell. And then maybe you'll tell somebody a little bit more about heaven. Then you'll maybe go give this gospel and this fullness away that you've all got inside you. Maybe you'll go give it away a little bit more. And so I felt that Jesus said to me, I asked him what these knots were. And I felt that he showed me. And he showed me that they were about vulnerability and they were about weakness. And I just had this sense as I was praying that Jesus was just showing me the world does not like vulnerability and the world does not like weakness. But in God's kingdom, because he calls us to be a humble people, he wants us to have a weakness. And he really does want us to have a weakness. I'm going to read you some scripture. And he wants us to have a vulnerability. And here is what Paul says. And he kind of had this pain in his flesh. And it calls it, it was a thorn that was given to him in the flesh. And it says in 2 Corinthians 12, it says, a messenger of Satan, and this is verse 7, a messenger of Satan sent this to harass me and to keep me from becoming conceited. Well, you just think of Paul, if Jesus allowed Satan to give him this thorn in his flesh, to stop him from being conceited. Let me tell you, he might need to do a few things with us. We often pray that we want everything right with our bodies and everything right with us all the time. But sometimes it's to keep us in a weak place. And I don't mean that weirdly. I really mean that sincerely. And people who know me know that I've got pains from head to toe and know some things about my body. But Paul was saying this because there was a reason. He says, three times I pleaded with the Lord about this. He was saying to him, God, why have I got to put up with this? That it should leave me. He was just saying, please let it go. But he said, my grace is sufficient for you, for my power is made perfect in weakness. So let me tell you, if you're wanting the power of God, you'll understand weakness. You'll understand what it means to be weak. Therefore, I will boast all the more gladly of my weaknesses, so that the power of Christ may rest upon me. for the sake of Christ, then I am content with weaknesses, insults, hardships, persecutions, and calamities. For when I am weak, then I am strong. And so do you understand? If we function in our own strength and we are not weak and we function in God's strength, the power will not rest on us. If we're functioning in our own strength, it's not good for us to be. It's what the world says that you need to be, but it's what God's kingdom says you don't need to be. And I felt that in this place that God was showing me, I just walked across the field yesterday. Dave couldn't come with me because his ankle had gone. And I came running in. I said, I've had a bit of a download from God. And I come running in. And I felt that God was just showing me this place about weakness. And I felt that he said, when you operate out of your own strength, when you operate in your own independency, when you are really saying to me, I am not enough. And it's really serious, guys. When we do things in our own strength, we are saying that Jesus isn't enough. It wasn't enough that Jesus came from the glory of heaven. It wasn't enough that he walked the earth for us. It wasn't enough that he died for us. It wasn't enough that he shed his blood. But I want to tell you, it is enough.
Yes, it is.
It absolutely is enough. But when we operate in our own strength, so God wants us to be weak. And come in that weakness to say, God, we need you. Yeah. And every morning you'll get up and say, God, I need you. I long for you. I cling to you. Because if you don't come that, you'll operate, you'll get up and you'll forget God. That's what you'll do. You'll forget God. Because you think that you can do it. Well, we can't. And then the other thing that he showed me was about vulnerability. Oh, it's a big thing, vulnerability. And the opposite of that is that we guarded and we protect ourselves and we shield ourselves. And what we do massively, if we're not vulnerable, we really close off our heart to the things that God wants to do. And so we close our heart off on the things that God wants to heal. And God wants to heal some of you this morning. God wants to heal some of your brokenness. God wants to heal some of your pain. Because if God can't heal you and get to your heart, how are you going to tell somebody else that he can get to your heart? God can get to the heart. If you won't allow God to do something with your fears and your anxiety, how can you go out and tell somebody about a God who can come and deliver them from the fears and their anxieties? We can't. We've got to let God do it in us first. And so in doing that, we have to make ourselves vulnerable. How vulnerable was the woman who walked into the Pharisee's house? How vulnerable was she when she wept and when she got down on her knees and wiped Jesus' feet with her hair? How vulnerable was she? How vulnerable was David when he took off his outer garments when the Ark of the Covenant came back and he danced? I didn't like that song, Teresa, about its foolishness, I know, because it ain't foolishness to dance. Because it is absolutely scriptural and right for us to dance. I want to tell you that, church. It's scriptural and rightful. And we need to know the truth, and the truth actually sets us free. So we want to dance, church. I mean, you maybe won't can't jig about, but you can move and sway. You can do something. And so I just believe that God is coming today, and I'm going to end and I'm going to pray. And because God is going to come this morning, and as we respond, because when an invitation comes out, so if you get an invitation to go somewhere, so we're going to a wedding next week, when an invitation goes out to you, you have to respond. So you respond by saying, yes, I'm coming. Oh, no, I'm not. But there has to be a response somewhere. It's not, we're flat, we don't know. You're either coming or you're not. And it's as easy as that. You're either coming closer to God and you're thirsty and you want more of him because you want to go give something away, or you're not thirsty. And it's as simple as that. And so God is calling for something for us today. And I just want to just say this before I finish. When the truth of God, when you read the truth, when you read the truth of the word, and you should be reading it every day, very precious. When you read the truth of God's word, this is what it does. It was like the woman. It caught her emotionally. So it wasn't only just something she believed Jesus was, and it wasn't just something of truth, because sometimes people don't like their emotions, and we're not meant to run on our emotions. If you understand, the truth comes first, but the truth is meant to affect our emotions. You only have to talk to somebody like Mark. There's not many men that I know that are connected emotionally. And this is a really serious thing. Don't try to guard your hearts, men. I know Chris, when he got up once and he started speaking and he just started crying. I know when Dave, and I'm not saying all men now have to cry. I'm not saying that. I'm talking about you need to connect yourselves with God, the truth, and you need to connect with your emotions. Because when we connect with our emotions, we can demonstrate our love to God. And we don't want to be guarded, and we don't want to protect ourselves. We want to give everything to God in worship. So I'm not going to say anything else. I write things down. Who knows why I write anything down, because I never look at it. So the invitation has come to you this morning.